We're praying for the internet right now, the people watching. In the name of Jesus, we pray over your body, your physical body, your finances, and your life. And we say in the name of Jesus, be whole, be healed, be prosperous in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your heart beats with the rhythm of life today. Your blood pressure is 120 over 80. You do good and it puts the evil down in Jesus' name. You listen to the word of God and he will show you all things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Yay. The curse of the law having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Do you see that? You see that it said we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now we're talking about the blessing. The blessing is the creative power of God. The word blessing means empower. It's God's power. His power established the universes. He put some creative power on Adam and Eve. His last work was not creating man. His last work was blessing the man he created. And then he rested. Amen. He sat down. Then Adam sinned. And God went back to work, and you know what he did? He started finding someone who would take the blessing. He started working on the blessing. That's all the work he did because he created everything else. Amen. So he did that through a blood covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And he passed it down the line until Jesus was born. Jesus is our blood brother. We've received the blood of Jesus. He poured out his blood for us. So even when sin erupted and the earth was destroyed with the flood, God was still putting the blessing on Noah. As soon as it was done, okay, you got to carry on, be fruitful, multiply. The blessing is not just having children. The blessing was on him for everything they needed. Amen. And so God keeps carrying on and carrying on with this until we get to Abraham and then we see that blood covenant. So as we read, it said that Jesus took the curse for us and the blessing was made available to us. So not only natural descendants, but the children of Abraham by faith, which we are. We are, Abraham is the father of our faith. And we were adopted in, and we are now Abraham's children as well. By faith, the scripture says, read Galatians and you'll get that. Read the whole book and you'll get who we are. Now, you may ask, why is Pastor Stain on the subject of the blessing so long? Well, because the world tries to meet its own needs. And they try to meet their needs without the blessing. And right now, the world is not meeting needs. There are many people doing without right now. You're not, because you're in the kingdom. But people are, and we should be concerned about them. Amen. Have you ever heard this? Have you heard, man, we got to make a living? You ever heard anybody say that? Well, you got to make a living. Or, I make deals. What do you do for a living? I make deals. Have you heard that? I've heard people say that. What about, we make appointments? How many of you make appointments? Look at there. You make appointments. Amen. But God's constitution, the word says, the blessing makes. You may say, I'm making money, I'm making this, I'm making that, I'm making appointments, I'm making deals. But the Bible says, the blessing makes. Yeah. Amen. The blessing makes one rich and it adds no toil to it. Not work. It's not about the work. It's about the worry and the fear and the world's way of doing it. But the blessing makes. Amen. So just a good example, if God assigns you to be the pastor in a church or an apostle or a car dealer or whatever he needs you to be, I want you to understand this. He needs you there. You hear me? He needs you there. Did y'all get that? If he asks you to be something, it's because he needs you there. Just making sure you got that. Don't want to skip over that. You're not there for you. Did you get that? You're not there for you. Most people think like that these days. They just think, well, you know, I'm there because I need a paycheck. I can't quit because I need a paycheck. What a sorry way to live. Excuse me if I hurt your feelings on that, but it's a sorry way to live if you know what we know. Mm-hmm. Praise God. You should be there to release the anointing and the love of God on that place. I'm here to help people win. I'm here to help people change. I'm here. That's what you do at your job. It's an assignment. Mm-hmm. It's an assignment. You're there for a purpose. You're there for them. That paycheck is secondhand. Amen. If you think like we think. Praise the Lord. The blessing makes. So when we seek and live in the blessing by faith, it makes all things added to us. It makes it. Praise the Lord. Every workman is worthy of his hire. But you are not limited to the higher because of the blessing. If I had lived off just my paycheck, just working here over the years, I would have not been as prosperous nearly as I am. But I didn't live off that. I lived off God. I wouldn't have what I have because there was a whole lot more that came to me outside of my paycheck. Yeah, but you're a pastor and you go places and you preach and people give to you. And but I'm not, you're not limited.
Amen. No. That's right.
Why would you be, why should it be any different for you? There are avenues. There's lots of avenues if you choose to take them and you choose to listen. Amen. You're not limited. Amen. The employer may be the channel that God uses, okay? But he's not your source. God is your source. Only God, through the blessing of Abraham that came on Jesus, is our source. God is our source. Say that. God is my source. Praise the Lord. So if God tells you to go and work over there and said, don't take a paycheck. Well, I knew somebody who did that one time. I believe he was the president of the United States. He went to work and he didn't take a paycheck. But he went there for you. One of the only ones I've ever seen do that. Yeah, I think he is the only one. Praise the Lord. But if he told you not to get paid, then he will pay you. There are times that I've gone out preaching and I'll tell the pastor, don't send me a check. I'm sowing my seed. No, because they can't stand it. They can, no, I'm sowing into this. But every once in a while, they'll receive it from me because they don't want to reject my seed. But God always pays for it. God always pays me. How many times have we come home and I said, well, it cost me way more than what I got, you know? And I tell them, you just watch, God will pay. And he does, doesn't he? It comes in. It just comes in. Because God is your source. And so wherever he's placed you, whatever assignment he has, he's still your source and he can make the way. Amen. So when you're looking to him as the source, you become that joint owner of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, didn't he do that with the disciples? He said, go out there and don't take your clothes and don't take a purse. Don't take any money. Just go out there. He wasn't telling them to be poor. He was telling them, you're in business with me. I will provide. Now, they were preaching the gospel, but could I say to you, could I suggest to you that whatever avenue you're walking in, you're preaching the gospel if you'll do it. Amen. Amen. Priests and kings.
Yes.
Art and I have been having some revelation about that. He's in the business world, but he's just as much a minister as I am. But he's doing what God called him to do, and it's causing the people of God and people to come into the kingdom. But it's not just that he's paying my way around. That's not it. It's a big picture of this is what God will do. So whether you're in real estate, whether you're in sales, whether you're running ranches, whether you're working for the dentist, whether you're working out there selling bathrooms to the world, glory to God, whatever it is you do, it's nice ones. Whatever it is you do, restrooms, I should have said. Do it to the glory of God. Because you're preaching the gospel. Doctors, nurses, whatever you do. Praise the Lord. School teachers, wherever you work, you're doing that for God. Retired people, you got something to do for God. And you could be sitting here today, you may be just be saying, yeah, but my job doesn't pay enough. I don't have enough coming in. You might want to quit that confession, first of all. But then you're looking at your job. Yeah, I'll say that. You know, over the years, we've rubbed shoulders with a lot of people. And so we've known a lot of preachers. And we go to lunch with a lot of preachers. And the itinerant ones that would come here, some of them we'd go to lunch with them and we'd say, they'd say, you know, I've gotta go to my next place. And they're like, oh, I wish I could take a vacation. Well, take one. I mean, you clear your schedule. Can't do that. I have to be in the pulpit preaching, in someone's pulpit preaching so many times a year or I won't make it. My ministry won't make it. Now, what's wrong with that? Doing God's business the world's way. You're welcome, Lord. That's the truth right there. He put that in my thoughts about that. But and I just don't live like that. I guess it's the teachers that I've had and the good company I've kept, but I've never had to think that way. I've never had to think if I don't do it. Now I've made plenty of mistakes in other ways, but I'm in that way. I've just been kind of like, well, that's not how it works. If God truly is my source, then he is my source. I told Danny when she came to work for the church, I said, you'll have to believe your check in every week. You just have to use your faith to bring it in. It was like Kenneth and Jerry. And she's believed it in. Now she gets paid by the month. Don't you? I don't know how they do it.
And never
missed a payment. Why? She used her faith. Amen. It comes in. Amen. Glory to God. Why can't you live like that? What's the difference? Well, you know, you're going to make sure she gets it. Well, I know somebody bigger than me that'll make sure you get it.
Come on.
Wow.
Boom.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, things aren't so great in this economy. But I'll tell you this, the Babylonian system has been attacking the United States for about 120 years. And it's actually been in the earth since Babel. That's when it started. The flood came, washed all the junk out. Then here comes Nimrod. He comes back in and starts building a way to heaven on his own. He's going to build him a tower. But God did something. God capped the Babylonian system. It'll never make it as high as the enemy thinks it'll make it. It's capped. It was capped the day God said, Babel!
That's right.
It's sealed off. So they'll go as high as they can go, and then they start falling to pieces. Have you seen it in history? Have you seen it? You're going to see it again. You're going to see it again. Because we've seen communism, socialism, Nazism, all the isms. They're all trying to rule the governments. And what they're trying to do is they're attempting to meet the needs of man, but the ones in the elite part are attempting to have power. That's what they want. They want to have power. Can you see that's exactly what Satan did? That's exactly what Lucifer did. I will ascend above the Most High. I'll ascend to where he is. That's what he puts in the mind of men. That's why humanism is such a big thing. We can do it. We don't need a God. We can build it up. We'll take over. But it always falls. And it'll fall again. Yes, it will. But the kingdom of God will not fall. Amen. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but the kingdom will not be shaken. So these men, they're continually creating these systems, but they fall because it is God who gives the increase. Our Constitution is held up so long, even under severe attacks, because it's based on the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is the source of the blessing because the Word of God is the source of faith. Amen? You see that? The Word of God is the source of the blessing because the Word of God is the source of faith. Galatians 3:9 says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So if your faith, and if you have faith in the blessing, you're believing with Father Abraham. He believed in the blessing. Go get yourself into another country. You're going to move to this other country, and you're going to have to be believing. You're going to have to be confessing. And of course, one of the first things he did was tithe. I still think that's a good idea myself. But what we see that he began to move out and the blessing was on him. He won all the battles. He got out of some strange things that happened around him. Amen. That he continued to win and he had some children. When they said he thought he couldn't have any at first, but he began to believe, Jordan said it. I think it was Jordan today. Build capacity. No, it was Jesse. Build capacity for this blessing. That's what we are doing. Right now, we're building capacity for you to wear the blessing and use it. It's on you, but you need to live in it and trust the blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what we're doing. That's what Abraham did. As he went along, you know, he made some mistakes. He tried to have some, he had Ishmael, you know, things like that. God was quiet with him for a little while. But then he came back around and they had Isaac. Amen. And Isaac carried the bloodline. And then after Sarah went to heaven, to wherever they go in the part of heaven they go to, paradise, I guess. She was gathered to her people, they say. That's how they put it. Wherever that place is exactly, it's some kind of heavenly realm. Okay. When she went, he married somebody else and had a lot more childrens. That man's faith was going. See, the blessing was working. Amen. And he was rich in cattle. He was rich. He was rich, rich. Well, no. Yes, yes. Faith is the connection for the blessing in our lives. It brings the manifestation of material goods from the spirit world. It brings healing, whatever you need. It destroys the curse. The anointing is part of the blessing. It'll remove the burdens. It destroys the yokes. It will strip out the curse, church. It'll strip it out of your life. Just see it. Just rip it out of there. Amen. So you pay attention You don't have to pay attention to the media. You can pay attention to the Word. They're saying this, but you're living this. The Word says that. Amen. John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that I will take of mine and declare it to you. Listen, church. All other voices have a plan. All those voices out there have a plan. They have a plan for you. There are so many political ideas, plans. They have plans for your future. But do you realize, I'll say it to you once again, that all of those plans have a cap that limits their success. So you might as well get out early and get on the blessing. Amen. Because those things are going to fail. The Babylonian system is limited, and it's just that no one has the guts to say what God has already said in his plan. He declared Babel. I declare Babel over socialism, over communism, over Nazi, whatever it is. Anything that is the world system, it's just Babel. The fake media, Babel. And you could just see that. The Word will get us where we need to go. So it's better to live in the kingdom. We said before that the blessing was created to bring the Garden of Eden to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding today. So we can see that you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Hey, this is Ephesians 1:3. You may not have thought of this way. Let me read it to you and give you my version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay? Did you get it? Now, think about that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Empowered be the God of Jesus. Okay? You get it? Blessed. Is it up there? Blessed. Okay. So empowered be the God of our Lord. So you're empowering him to what? Lord, who has empowered us with every spiritual empowerment. Okay, I'm trying to get something across to you. We kind of locked into this verse like God's got all of our stuff and it's in the heavenly realm and faith will bring it in. And that's true. But when you translate and meditate, blessed be the God and Father, so empowered. Empowered is the God of Jesus Christ, who has empowered us with every empowerment. Now, walk with me just a minute, because we're going to get somewhere that you're going to want to go. Okay? Heavenly places. Heavenly places. So the empowerments are in, don't lose me now. You're going to want to know this. The empowerments are in the heavenly realm. They are above the light line. Okay? They're above the light line. The problem is living below the light line. And let me just walk through this. I want you to keep this scripture on your mind, that it's an empowerment here that we're talking about. This is going to help your faith for you to get what you need. And it'll also give you a better picture of the Father as we do this. When God spoke the world into existence, he said what? Light be, or basically he said me be. Amen. Because God is pure light. He's not sunlight. He's not this light. He's pure light. There is no darkness in him at all. So Adam and Eve were created to live in this light. They were created with light. So and the earth was as well. So it was created from light and dwelt in life, light. Excuse me. So when Satan tempted Adam, Adam fell from the life light. Okay? Y'all get that, don't you? So he had on glory clothes. Remember how it said they found out they were naked? Well, it wasn't like they didn't have anything on. They were wearing the glory. They had on glory suits. They were covered with light. They were covered with God themselves. They didn't need any other protection because they had their power suit on. They were wearing the blessing. And when it went, and the light went out, they're like, uh-oh. Think about it. All right, now, this is something you may not have gotten, but you're going to love what I'm about to tell you. God did not punish Adam for what he did. See, now, because it's like, I'm kicking y'all out of the garden. No. He dealt with the circumstances that Adam had created. He didn't punish them because he already had a plan, that was going to bear the punishment. Because the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, that the Trinity got together and said, this is going to happen and we've got a plan for it. And Jesus said, I'll go. And then we know that God, being in all eternity, had already read, he had already said, His own self bore our griefs. He did it. He did it. So God already had the plan. So he's not going, I'm mad and I'm kicking y'all out of here. No, he's going, all right, it happened. Let's move right on through here. Let's deal with this. Let's get Adam and Eve out of this garden. So he's not punishing them. He sent them out to protect them. Because he loved them so much, he wanted to go, oh my goodness. That's probably a good thing for God to say. Oh my goodness. And he would want to grab them up and wrap them up in his arms and hug them and love them. But if he would have, he'd have just obliterated them, because the power of God on a fallen nature will just wipe it out, because it wipes out darkness. So in order to protect them, he had to move them out of the life arena. That's why he didn't want them getting near the tree of life. That's good, isn't it? Sin forced a separation. So, you know, that pure and holy fire of the glory would have just destroyed them. So they'd have been burned to ashes. Just remember, church, in the presence of pure life, everything associated with darkness is annihilated. That's what it is. You know what wrath is when the wrath of God's talked about? Wrath is not evil. You know, God's evil because he has wrath. No. That's what people think. The wrath is simply the extermination of darkness. That's like the guy who comes and exterminates the bugs from your house. It's the same thing. It's an extermination of darkness. And it's held back right now. And it's held back from you.
That's right.
You, according to Thessalonians, will never experience the wrath of God. You never will. The Bible says you are not appointed to wrath. If you're like, we're going through the tribulation, I just believe we are. You have no idea what you're saying. All right. The earth itself is contaminated by the curse. And it can't bear up under direct contact with the pure presence of God. Think about Moses on Sinai. What'd they say? Oh, you talk to him. We don't want to get that close to him. I mean, he had to appear and put himself in a cloud, in a fire, to even lead them around. But up on that mountain, when he spoke to Moses, Moses had protection, and Moses still comes down glowing for days.
Mm-hmm.
you might find yourself glowing here in the next few weeks. They were afraid because that mountain was a smoking furnace. But it wasn't that way in the garden before the fall. But that's the effect now that God has on fallen creatures. So they were so weakened by sin that they couldn't tolerate even the sound of his voice in the wilderness. They couldn't do it. Moses, you'll have to talk to him. They were so weakened by it. And what was God doing though? Why was he coming to them out in the wilderness? He wanted them to reconnect with the blessing. He wanted them to, he was ready. He wanted to do that. He's given them this promised land. That promised land was all about the blessing, church. Yeah. Well, they needed to be in the wilderness. No, they needed to cross the wilderness. Thank you. Anyway, get the picture. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool or in the spirit of the day. Then they were separated. So they knew what they were missing. The splendor of God's glory, the realm of the Spirit, had once been tangible. It's about to be again. And it has been on the church for a long time. We had a tangible presence about 30 minutes ago in here. Very tangible. It's still tangible on me right now. I don't know about you, but right now it is. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Moses, when he asked to see the glory of God, he had to be hidden in the rock, which, by the way, was Jesus. Amen. Hidden. So they were separated is the point that I want to get to. Now, in what I want to say, let me say it like this. The splendor of God's glory and the realm of the Spirit once were tangible, but now they're below the light line. That's what happened to them. They're trapped below the light line. So, what is the light line? The light line separates the spiritual realm from the physical realm. God, when he created two different levels. He created the spirit world and he created the physical world. The physical world was a whole lot more like the spiritual world. They were mixing together, but Adam brought the curse on because he had authority on the earth, just like you do. So the Bible says that God created both the seen and unseen. Colossians is a good place to look at all this. Yeah, I was reading Colossians this week. If you look at Colossians, you'll see some of this. Now, once again, I know you guys are pretty in tune with this, but in the upper realm, angels are firm. They can touch each other. My mama, your daddy, your parents, your grandparents, they're tangible even in their spirits in that realm. They're not walking through walls there. Angels, when on assignment, slow down to come into this realm when necessary, and that's when you'll see them. So, both places are very real. When you go to heaven, you're going to look just like you, only better. Thank God. I'm thinking of myself. You're going to look... Not y'all. Pastor said I look better than you. But you'll be tangible. It's this realm where all the quantum stuff, they'd be in the quantum realm if they were here. They are here. They're in the quantum. But they have to slow down below the light line because light speed is 6,000 miles per second. So it's above the light line that all of the miracle things. So when we laid hands on you today, that was light from the other side. Is Jesus. He is the light. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We're spirits who live in the body. And now that we're born again, we can have constant contact, with the heavenly realm. So, I submit to you, you can get above the light line.
Amen.
And I'll tell you how. You want to know how to get above the light line? Faith. Faith is the force that will pull you up in the light line, or pull things from the light line down to you, into this realm. Works both ways. You are a born-again spirit. Your spirit's perfect on the inside of you. Your soul needs a lot of stuff. All of ours does. But your spirit, God rebirthed it. It's born again. Jesus says you have to be born of the water and then of the spirit, meaning something new happened to you. So what do we do if we're going to have that force? We're going to have to feed it. You feed the force and you know how to feed it. Your faith in Jesus has bridged the gap. So if you, now here's what I wanted to get to. You got to feed your faith, and we know how to do that. I'll mention it in just a minute. That scripture that I read, can you put it up there again? Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed. Okay. Empowered be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, who has empowered us with every spiritual other realm empowerment in the above the light line places. Okay? This is what I'm trying to tell you. Faith in the blessing. Not just faith in stuff. One at a time. Well, I believe God for my car. Well, I believe God for my healing. Well, I'm believing God for my piece of land. Well, I'm believing God for my clients. Well, I'm faith in the blessing turns the shower on.
Yes.
All of it. Yes. Remember the song, there will be showers of blessing sent from the Father of... Okay, praise the Lord. That's for all the Baptists in here. So, you're getting it all. You get the whole package. It's... The Lord told me that about 3 years ago. He says, I need you to stop believing for one thing at a time. Well, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. Put faith in the blessing. And it'll work. It'll just go start working for you. Isn't that good? Did that change for you? Empowered. I'm empowering God of Yeshua HaMashiach, the anointed one, who has empowered me with every above the realm of the upper realm empowerment from the upper realm. So you're not just here without anything. It's in you. The upper realm's in you. The above the light line's in you. Above the light line's in you. So you can just get the whole package. You don't have to just do one thing at a time. You get the whole package. Now that right there ought to just change your life right there. Just get it. You get the whole thing. Y'all still with me? So faith is that force that's going to do that. Where it's not going to be anymore. We're in a new season. Not going to get things one at a time. Put the blessing to work. Come up above the light line. Friends, listen, the devil runs the world system. Why participate in that kind of thinking? Yet we do. We resort back to this worldly thinking because we don't bother to get above the light line. But it's available to us every minute of every day. Just get above the light line. How do we do that? The Word. Meditate the Word. Use your imagination concerning the promises. Declare, confess, and believe it. Get your, until you believe it. And then pray in your prayer language.
Amen.
I don't know why God doesn't do anything. I just don't know why God doesn't do anything. I came to this church and I thought, you know, they preach all that good. I don't know why God doesn't do anything. Word, meditate, confess, declare, believe, pray, worship, praise. That's your job. All the other stuff is an assignment. Your job is to believe, to get into the Word, to meditate the Word, to pray the Word, to declare the Word. To decree a thing.
Amen.
To command your morning.
Yep.
To command every element of your day to go right.
Amen.
To declare protection.
Amen.
That's your job.
Yes.
Well, you know, I don't feel like it. Well, then just stay like you are, because we can't help you if you don't believe this. I'm not trying to be mean, but it's just the truth. If you're not going to do the, well, but we're in grace. We don't have to do anything. Well, how's that working for you? I'm in grace too. The grace gives me the ability to get up and word and meditate on the promises and say and declare in Jesus' name. The word helps me do that. That's your job.
Yep.
It doesn't have to take all day. You can do several things while you're walking around.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hurt you to memorize a scripture. You can memorize a scripture and say it all day long. I pray that there's not anyone in here that doesn't at least know one scripture. Meditate, memorize a scripture. Say it over and over. It'd be nice to hear a scripture come out of your mouth.
Amen.
Well, the word says, amen.
Yeah.
I'm not being too hard on you, church. No. This is what we need to do.
Right.
Meditate. Use your imagination. Yeah. I see myself doing this because of the word.
Amen.
I see the promises coming to pass.
Yeah.
I'm declaring today that my day functions like it's supposed to. Every satanic squatter is out. How hard is that to say? Get a 3x5 card and say it. I declare today every satanic squatter, blah, 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 blah. Just make you a list of things. Say it, put it down, and go to do your assignment. But your job is the word, because you are a part of the kingdom. I'm a reader of the room, so you probably don't realize this, but I can watch the whole time I'm preaching. And then when we pray, I always look around to see who bothers to open their mouth. And so I know which ones of you do and which ones of y'all just stand there. I watch it. And no condemnation, but I just know, because I want to know who's moving forward. You have to tell your flesh what to do, church. You have to tell your flesh what to do. You can't just go, but you'll just get into a thinking role, and you don't even realize you're not participating. Amen. You have to wake yourself up. You have to make a quality decision. And I don't think any of that is works. I think is relationship. On the other hand, it seems pretty easy for people to fret, escalate the situation. You know, you start doing something, it just gets higher and higher. That seems to be easier for people to do than to quote the word. Memorize. Getting quiet in here. Have you noticed that? There's some people, you never hear them quote the word, but boy, they can sure build the thing up on, and they'll even use Christianese. Pray with me. Agree with me. But that's not what they want. They want to tell you the situation and talk about it for 30 minutes. Cut the bait, church. Cut that off today. Cut that off today. Cut off your own opinion today if you need to. Well, my opinion is this. Find it in the Word. Find it in the Word. Find it in the Word. Go ahead and do it. Pray. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you say no to just going the wrong way. Just start declaring. I love Pastor Terry Pearson's. You can imagine in that high level position all the things that can go wrong in a day. And I have always heard her say, well, praise the Lord. She's not praising for the situation. She's praising God in it.
Yep.
Well, praise God. This is going to go the right way. So I don't know what we're going to do. I just don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. Our, I don't know why God won't do anything. One of those two. And we can all look straight ahead because everybody in here has done it, including me. But this is a new season. And this is a year of correction. And so I'm asking for my correction to be for the Holy Spirit to immediately say, girl, watch yourself. Spend some time with him. And maybe to try not to do all the talking. You might want to listen and hear what God's saying. Church, God went to extremes to keep his covenant bloodline. He went to extremes to give you this blessing. Use it. Use it. He went to extremes. His son. He sent his son. That's extreme. But now you're sitting here in the bloodline. Well, hurry up. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I need to eat. He went to extremes. And you can't sit here for 2 hours. It's funny. Y'all do it in the movies all the time. He went to extremes. He went to extremes. I'm going to wear this blessing and talk this blessing and use this blessing and multiply this blessing and preach it till you get it. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Stop pacing the floor and tossing and turning at nighttime and do the other stuff we just talked about. This is God's invitation to us. Come sit at my right hand while I make your enemies your footstool. Glory to God. That's what he said. That's what I'm going to do. No more fooling around.